Cryptids and Milfs. I'm your host, Amanda.
And I am Ella, and you are entering the sovereign country of Scully Nation, where the flashlights are flickery and the blazers are boxy.
This is an X-Files rewatch podcast. We rewatch the X-Files, and then we talk about it. And this is my first time watching it.
And this is my, I thought about this, I'm pretty sure my third time.
Third, okay.
Yeah, we're rounding down to three.
Okay.
I think it's more than two.
Okay.
I think it's three.
Okay.
We're going to go with three.
That's a nice round. Well, not round, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
A pleasant number, yes. Anyway. So yes. That's okay.
Well, do we want to talk about the video game at all? Or
oh yeah, we could touch on that briefly.
Or talk about it later. I just don't know. We have to talk about it at some point.
We do. The elephant in the room.
Yeah.
We finally have a way to play the point and click 1998.
Yes.
X-Files.
I think so.
Video game.
Yeah.
So.
We have not played the whole thing, but we did start it.
Yeah.
It's very exciting.
Yes.
You can smooch Skinner.
Yes. Not technically.
No.
But the pointer becomes lips when you are talking to someone.
And comically oversized pair of lips.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you can smack him right on his lips.
Yeah.
If you want. If you were a freak.
Yes.
You could even smack it somewhere else if you wanted to.
It's true.
Not that we would do that.
No. That's inappropriate.
You could.
We wanted to see what would happen if you just shot Skinner in the head. It turns out the game ends.
You go to jail.
Yeah.
As it turns out. Yeah.
Yeah,
you're playing as some rando made-up FBI agent.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike Skinner, who's a real FBI agent.
Yeah, of course.
And yes, you get in quite a lot of trouble if you shoot Skinner, and you get in less, but still quite a bit of trouble if you handcuff him. We learned.
He lets you get away with it once.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he doesn't let you do it, but he'll let it slide.
Mm-hmm.
But the second time,
you're going
to the slammer.
It's quite fun because it's like they filmed just whatever, like scenes for it.
I will say Mitch Pileggi really dedicated his time to this game.
Yeah, he did.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think the first time you try to handcuff him, he just like shakes his head and he says, "I don't want that." Which I thought was quite funny.
Yeah.
But he also says that, like, if you try to give him anything, he doesn't want that.
He doesn't.
No.
He just doesn't.
And you can ask him if Mulder and Scully are romantically involved over and over and over again, and he'll answer every time.
That's the first prompt. Is he the case you're trying to solve is Mulder and Scully are missing. And he's like, "You got to find my agents." The very first question you can ask is, are they involved?
Yeah.
It's like, I feel like there's other questions to be asked.
Nope. When I hear of a man and a woman who work together, I immediately go, they boning though? And it has gotten me in some trouble at work, to be honest, because
it's a little weird.
Like, ooh, let's get this project started. Who's the team? And then they'll be like, oh, you know.
John and Casey.
John and Casey, who's a woman. And I'll be like, ooh, putting them on the case together. Oh, I guess they're boning.
Yeah.
And my boss says, you can't keep saying this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That doesn't mean anything.
Uh-huh.
Women are allowed to work now. they can work without being romantically
involved.
Well,
you got confused because Casey is kind of, you know, could go either way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I got scared.
Yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What else did we do in the game?
Got
lost in the FBI office for a while.
It was difficult.
Difficult to navigate.
We have a very compelling backstory. We have an ex-wife and a child that we don't see ever.
Maybe we do at some point.
Seemed like we didn't. We saw our own weekends, right?
Yeah.
So I'm very compelled about that. We have a partner that we're very mean to.
We've chosen to be mean to this partner. You get the option of like responding nicely or meanly.
Yeah.
And we keep responding meanly.
The big case that we were on before finding Mulder and Scully was investigating pull tab fraud.
Yeah.
Which does not seem like a good use of our time.
I mean, I guess that's probably what the FBI does, though, right?
Pull tab
to
fraud?
To cross the state line?
Oh, come on. There's better things to be worrying about out there.
I don't know. That could be pretty major. Wasn't there a bunch of pull tab fraud in Minnesota? Am I making that up? Wasn't that a thing?
Really? Okay.
Wasn't that a thing?
I don't know.
I might be completely misremembering some content. Wasn't it like U.S. Bank Stadium was paid for with taxes on pull tabs or something? Am I completely making this up?
I don't know. Me,
this is like newspaper headlines I remember from like 12 years ago, vaguely.
Yeah, I mean, maybe.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I thought that was a riveting case. I actually wanted to follow the pull tab case, but they wouldn't let you.
They wouldn't. You have to give your case to somebody else.
It's ridiculous.
Sad. But anyway, so it's very exciting.
Yes.
I guess we met James Wong.
Mm-hmm.
Not the real James Wong, but a guy named James Wong.
Yes.
So that was exciting.
That was exciting.
But yeah, I guess we'll report back.
As we continue.
As we continue.
Yeah. Yeah. So shout out to the same person who did our intro music is the one who helped figure that out. So
yeah. Shout out. All right. Well, shall we get into the meat of this night?
Let's do it.
I can't say that. You say that.
Yeah, sorry.
Let me get into the introduction to the meat.
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The, I don't know, the app? Appetizer.
The appetizer. Mm-hmm. Let's get into the appetizer. Tonight, of course, is an exciting night because we are talking about Season 8, Episode 2, Without.
Look, we are being hampered here by the FBI, by John Doggett, by doubt, by our own mistrust. Whatever it is working, as long as we let it.
You told me Mulder wouldn't allow it. Wouldn't let me ruin my career over this, over him. But what about you, Scully? I mean, my God, you've got even more at stake.
This episode aired on November 12th, 2000. It was written by Chris Carter and directed by Kim Manners and takes place in Flemingtown, Arizona. And a short plot synopsis. At a remote school in the Arizona desert, Doggett, Scully, Gibson, and Skinner, as well as a host of students and agents, do not know whom to trust as the bounty hunter works among them. And in a spaceship close by, Mulder is experimented on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
It's about what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Well, shall we hop into the sweaty main course
yes.
of the evening? Because it's the desert.
I always love when my meat is sweating.
I do too. It adds a certain je ne sais quoi to it,
yes.
you know?
A certain je ne sais quoi of food poisoning.
Oui. Oui. So we open on some shots of the Arizona desert. It's dark. There's some classic Scully voiceover. She's like rambling about aliens or whatever. I don't know what she's up to.
She does say we live in a darkness of our own making. And I like to think that she was talking about having to record the voiceovers.
Yeah. She's just in the booth, terrified.
Yeah.
But she's like, I agreed to this. The company got out and I didn't.
I had my chance.
I could have gotten out. So she's talking about how we're, you know, like there's an alien world unseen by us. And then like, in the visuals, we're seeing a UFO landing in the Arizona desert. Then she talks about how the UFOs are cloaked and we can't know what's going on. But if they know our secrets, why can't we know the alien secrets? Mm. You know, probe some aliens.
Yeah.
And then the UFO does the little cloaking thing.
Why don't we ever probe the aliens back? You know what I mean?
I guess they kind of did, didn't they, a couple times, huh? We saw some probed aliens.
I guess there were some autopsies.
Yeah.
But there's an imbalance.
It's
true. Seems like the aliens are attacking us a little bit more.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. We got to start probing aliens. I've always said it.
Yeah.
Always said it. So yes, this UFO is in the desert, but it is able to cloak itself so it is shimmery and invisible.
Mm-hmm.
And then we cut to those credits.
Credits over. We are back on the Arizona Mesa where we last left off. Doggett and Mulder are having their standoff. Fake Mulder is squinting a lot.
He's so squinty. He's still squinting.
He's squinting.
Yeah.
He did look weird, right?
He looks like bulkier,
Okay.
As we talked about, yeah.
I feel validated now.
He does. Yeah. I don't know if it was like Duchovny making a choice or like you said, maybe he was working on another project. I don't know.
I don't know. But he's squinting a lot. Do you think he took pointers from, what was his name, Deputy Squint?
Maybe. He got coaching.
Yeah.
Probably.
That was, oh no, never mind. I was like, maybe that was in Oregon, but that was a different episode.
Yeah. A long time ago. I miss Deputy Squint every day.
Yeah. So does his son.
Yeah, probably.
And wife. R.I.P. So, yes. So... Doggett is telling fake Mulder to let go of the boy, and fake Mulder doesn't say anything. He just kind of stands there. But then Doggett threatens him enough, so eventually he lets Gibson go, and Gibson just kind of books it out of there as fast as he can. He is not sticking around, which is fair.
Mm-hmm.
I would not. So yeah, I don't know. Doggett keeps holding the gun on him and he's trying to talk him down. Well, I guess he's doing a lot of yelling, I guess. But he asks whether Mulder has a gun and all of that, and he says that it's just too hot for all of this BS, which is true. This is the sweatiest episode of this entire show.
Yeah, it's a sweaty one.
Like, to the point where like the actors looked like dangerous levels of sweaty, like where they were about to have a heat stroke and fall down and die.
They didn't have water on set that day, actually.
There's no water. Nobody was wearing sunblock. Nobody had any hats on. No sunglasses.
Skinner gets red.
Yeah.
I'm worried about Skinner.
It didn't look like hot. It looked like
heat stroke.
Yeah. But, so Doggett is just speaking the truth. Mm-hmm. So,
that's just the actor.
Well,
it's not Doggett. It's Patrick Henry. He's like, Patrick Henry?
Robert Patrick.
Patrick Henry is a different man.
Isn't that the Civil War, or the Revolutionary War guy?
Yeah. Yeah. Which is how I like to think of Doggett.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Give me freedom or give me death. Is that Patrick Henry? No.
This doesn't sound right, no. But I actually don't know for sure at this
point. I need
point
to stop
because
talking.
I've said so many names at this point that I can't keep up. That's just him screaming at the director to please stop and give him water.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's too hot for this.
Yeah, so Doggett just continues kind of screaming at him. I will say this is setting a weird precedent for when he actually meets the real Mulder one day. But, you know, that we'll cross that bridge when we get
if
to it.
If he meets the real Mulder.
That's true. It seems grim so far.
Yeah, they're not. I mean, yeah, from his perspective, Mulder is a weird-looking, squinting man who stole
children.
A child and doesn't say anything. He's like,
and lied about
Skelly, you're into this.
Dying and
you're into this guy?
Yeah, you know, you can see where he might not be.
Yeah.
He's not on the Mulder train.
No.
From the beginning. So Doggett tries to arrest fake Mulder, and fake Mulder just kind of backs up backwards, and he just backs right off that cliff.
Yeah.
And then he falls in a very goofy manner.
He does.
He's just like, woo!
That's alien bounty hunters for you.
I guess.
They fall goofy.
I feel like they would fall. They would fall like a rock.
Yeah,
I feel
they
like
would,
they
actually.
Just
like a Skinner kind of fall.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, so he falls. He hits the ground. Doggett watches him go. He's like, well, this is a short manhunt.
Manhunt done.
Yeah, I guess
chalk that up.
He just claps his hands.
He's calling her. She's like, found him.
It's like, anyone want to get a drink?
That Doggett will hunt.
Thank you for working that in.
Really, I said that Doggett won't hunt as a pun off mic and had to shove it in.
We had
somewhere.
To get it in. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, so fake Mulder's body is on the ground. It's all broken. The other agents arrive just at that moment, and Doggett tells them what happened. And then down below, we see fake Mulder's body is lying there. He's got a severely broken arm. It looks very painful, but then he gasps himself back to life. So
he's fine.
Not dead.
He didn't get a... poked in the back of the neck or whatever. So Skinner and Scully arrive on the scene, and Doggett explains to Scully that Mulder just kind of like fell off the cliff and now his body's gone, so that's really weird. And Skinner's like, that's not possible. And Doggett says, I know, and yet we're on the X-Files, so you can't be surprised. I'm surprised by this, but you guys can't be surprised. He also points out that, like, you know, Doggett's like, listen, sometimes, you know, seemingly impossible things happen. I've seen a lot of shit in my time as a cop, let's just say that. But this is even stretching his credulity, because Mulder fell like a million feet, and then, you know, he's gone, and they can see tracks in the sand that make it look like he ran away, which is pretty impressive to be running after that fall.
Yes.
Unlikely. Yeah. But little does he know, Mulder jogs everywhere, so... no matter how hard he is.
The only problem is, yeah, like when Mulder jogs, it's Mulder. It's like a good rhythm.
Yeah.
But when it's the bounty hunter, he has to go, alien bounty hunter, alien bounty hunter.
Nothing.
It's just not that you can't get into the right rhythm.
It's good.
Just not as, and that's why he's not in such great shape.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's shameful, but it's true. I should start saying Mulder when I jog and see if that works.
Yeah.
To keep me on track.
It might help.
It helps him.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he apparently ran away, and Scully looks at Doggett, and he's like, listen, babe, I'm sure it looked like Mulder, probably. He was squinting a lot, but it probably basically looked like Mulder, but trust me, I know Mulder. That was not Mulder. And, you know, she's finally just, like, openly saying all this Mulder shit.
She's giving in.
Yeah, she's like, it's season 8, baby, it's time. So
was that her Gillian Anderson's stipulation for coming back? She's like, Chris, I will continue to be on the show, but I'm not doing this skeptic shit anymore.
Probably.
I'm just not gonna do it.
I can't keep doing this, Chris.
Yeah.
Probably, honestly.
Maybe.
That'd be so funny if he still tried to make her do that. eight seasons in.
Yep.
But they got Doggett now. It's fine.
Yeah.
They brought him in. Yeah, basically, she's just like, you best start believing in X-Files, Mr. Doggy, you're in one. I don't know what she actually says, but that's basically it.
She says that it's an alien that they're looking
for. Okay, yeah, she says the word alien. Okay.
And I did kind of enjoy, like, Skinner's, like, kind of, like, looking at Doggett. He's like, okay, here we go. How is he going to take this? He's, like, feeling him out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think he was impressed or unimpressed?
I don't know. I feel like we're still neutral.
Yeah.
I feel like no strong feelings one way or the other.
Yeah.
I do have, when did Skinner get on board the supernatural train? Because he is now.
Yeah.
At what point did that happen?
I mean, I guess he was always sore, like when he had the little conversation with Mulder in the X-Files office where he was like, I've seen some shit. And
that's true.
I can't follow you, but I want you to do it or whatever.
Yeah, that was a while ago.
That was a while ago. I don't remember.
That was when he didn't believe in aliens anymore. When he wanted.
Oh,
to
he
quit.
Was saying
quits. That was
season 5, I think.
5,
right? Or 4? Maybe 4.
5.
I thought it was 5.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
Okay. But I don't know when he got so wholeheartedly.
Yeah, but I think that was more like. He's like, I'm happy that you believe it, but I don't believe it. But now I guess he does.
Yeah, he just went, I don't know. Did he, well, I mean, was it literally just when he saw the UFO? Like a couple of days ago?
I guess
like,
so.
Fuck, I guess. I don't know. I guess Mulder was right.
I mean, he spent 8 years reading their stupid reports. You know, it feels like at a certain point it would make an impact on you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe it was a million little pieces together.
Mm-hmm. And we know that he sits back and he treasures those and he reads them with a glass of whiskey. So he's taken in every word. He's not just like flipping through it and stamping it. He enjoys it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He loves it.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's an alien. Skinner and Scully are, united in that. So Doggett's really dealing
S-squared.
With a lot. S-squared. The S-tier... S squad.
We decided S tier squared squad.
S tier squared squad. It's just not Boo Crew, is it?
It's just not. We could go with S squared. I kind of like S squared. Or S tier.
S squared.
I feel like S tier or S squared.
Okay. We can see what comes off our lips most often.
Okay.
Okay. They talk about how the alien bounty hunter is looking to collect the bounty that is Gibson Prey's because Gibson is part alien, and Doggett's like, okay. So there's an alien bounty hunter. He disguised himself as Mulder to steal the boy and take him to the UFO where Mulder is. Okay. Okay. It does sound like something Mulder would say, and then he just like leaves, which is fair.
He does.
So he's got to deal with a lot, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Scully and Skinner hang back to chat, and Skinner's like, it's kind of fucked up. Are you saying there's really a shape-shifting bounty hunter? So, like, he didn't know. I don't think he knew about the bounty hunter, right? Or, like, that it could shape-shift? Because he's, like, confirming with Skelly.
Oh, is he?
I think he's, like,
well, like,
really
he must know about. He's been around. I mean, they wrote about it in their reports before.
I mean, they wrote about it, but did he believe it?
Maybe not.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I feel like he's going through a lot.
Has he not encountered the bounty hunter before?
I don't know. Has he? I'm trying to think.
It feels like he must have been around.
Yeah, but they like say, well, but it would have been a mythology episode. They like really compartmentalize.
Mm-hmm. But those are the episodes he's usually in.
That's true. So maybe.
Like in the episodes where they were trying to find the ice pick.
Mm-hmm.
Is he in those? Feels like he must have been.
It does feel like he would have been, but I can't guarantee he was. Spender was there.
It's true.
Doing his Spender stuff.
Lamp.
Mm.
We all remember Lamp.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So anyway, whatever. He's like, damn, that's crazy. That means that the alien bounty hunter could turn into any of us. And that's going to come up later. Scully is like, wherever Mulder is now, he better be smiling about me saying aliens are real. And then I assume, I don't think we actually smash cut to Mulder, but it would have been funny if we had just like smash cut to Mulder being brutally tortured.
He's smiling in a way.
He's grimacing.
Because of the cheek hooks.
Yeah. He's being forced to smile.
It's a forced smile.
Yeah, so she's right. Thanks, Scully, for being a monster
yeah.
to make light of that.
God.
God.
Disgusting. Mm. So, back at the school, the FBI is for some reason making all of these kids stand out in the boiling Arizona heat.
Yeah. I guess are they worried that Mulder's in there hurting kids?
I guess. They're searching the building, yeah. but, you know, isn't there like an awning or something? A
Seems
tent
like
somewhere? I don't know. They're yeah. in Arizona. It feels like they would be more prepared for outdoor yeah. time.
It's so hot.
So we do see Gibson's weird friend again, and they just kind of like stare yeah. at everybody very suspiciously.
Yes.
And nobody really notices.
No.
So Doggett arrives. He talks to, I just called this guy the stooge in my notes.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
like two prominent FBI yeah. agents that we don't know the names of, and I just have them as the stooge and Agent Walkie Talkie.
Okay, I was going to say Walkie Talkie. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I think it's so, like a Landau or something dumb, but we can call
stooge.
Him stooge.
Yeah. So he talks to the stooge, and they say that they have checked out the whole school, and nobody saw Mulder anywhere. And Doggett is sure that Mulder has to be here somewhere because there's nowhere else to hide. They're out in the desert. There's nothing else for miles. Why is this evil school in the middle of nowhere? It doesn't matter.
Why is Gibson there? Where are his parents? We'll get into it later,
whatever.
I'm sure.
So they are going to start searching the school again, and they head inside, and the Gibson's friend is still staring at them. I assume this is Gibson's alien buddy, but there is no confirmation yet.
No, but it is. Come yeah. on. So we enter the school, and we see Bounty Hunter Mulder arrive in the science room, and then he, like, cracks his broken arm back into place.
Ouch!
And then he transforms into the Bounty Hunter face that we know and love, and then when, like, Doggett arrives in the room, he's already transformed into one of the teacher's faces. So I guess he has to, like, transform into his neutral face before he can take on someone else's face.
Yeah, that was a little weird.
It's a TV convention so that we know what's going on. I get it. That's fine. So Doggett walks in, and he is kind of suspicious and confused about the teacher being in the room and also staring at him silently and creepy. But he doesn't really, like, pursue it. He's just like, all right, I guess you're in here. Doggett!
I know.
You're an FBI agent running this manhunt. Whatever.
Come on.
He's fine with it. He's like, whatever. And then we do get this the fun transition here where we see Agent Walkie-Talkie with his walkie-talkie technique. And I don't know if you wanted to expand on that
this
at all.
This is just, he's my favorite person in the whole episode. Mm-hmm. This guy, he just knows how to walk with authority, and mm-hmm. he knows how to bark orders into this walkie-talkie.
Yeah.
He strides everywhere. He just seems great. And
it's
I love him.
Like he's like embodying the Scully energy from Fight the Future when she's mm-hmm. in the building telling
yes.
them to, like, you know, she's like pointing her gun at everyone, telling them to get out.
Basically.
But if she were on a walkie-talkie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's like
yeah.
his energy. It's very impressive.
Yeah. So I definitely wanted to see more of this guy. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I bet he never shows up again.
He might. You never know.
He got a name.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but it was in the credits.
I guess they haven't, they're like, don't repeat actors quite as much anymore, do they? Mm. Now that they're in LA.
Yeah.
LA. They used to repeat actors all the
That's
time.
That's true.
I miss Ellen Bledsoe every day
every
of my
day.
Goddamn life.
One more. She'll be coming.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. S squared, they're talking. Skinner wants to know how Doggett knew how to come out to this school, because they don't know about the mysterious file he received.
How did they know to come to the school?
Because Scully had the brainwave.
How did she have a brainwave of knowing where Gibson was?
She didn't know where the school was. She knew that the aliens were looking for Gibson, and the last time they saw Gibson was in Arizona. So they just decided to drive around Arizona, I guess.
Wait, was he in Arizona the last time? Was that where the nuclear power plant was? I thought that
yes.
was somewhere else.
I think, yes, I'm pretty sure.
It was in Arizona.
I'm
okay.
pretty sure it was Arizona.
Okay, never mind then.
But, you know, Arizona's a big state, and there's no reason why he would still be there. But they were right.
They were right.
I think they just drove around until they found a school.
Okay, that
in the
makes sense.
Of nowhere.
That makes sense.
Yeah. But yeah, so Scully doesn't know how Doggett new to come to the school, but she does know that they're just tearing the place apart looking for the wrong person. So they wonder where Gibson went. They know that the kid is three steps ahead of them. They do notice the weird friend sneak away and go biking off into the desert. And then so they know that they have to follow the friend, but the agent Stooge is staring at them. So Skinner tells Scully to get a head start and start walking, and he will distract the guy because they just don't know who to trust. Mm-mm-mm. So the Stooge kind of follows them, and then Skinner very creepily steps out from behind a building. He's like, "What's up?
Yeah.
Let's talk."
Wink.
Yeah.
"What do you think about the latest game?" I don't know. That's, you know, that's what I would try.
Okay, the latest game.
That's how I talk to people about sports.
Uh-huh. Oh.
And people say, "What did you say?"
Yes.
And I say, "What did you think about the latest game?" And they say, "What game?" And I say, "I don't know.
There's a lot of... You tell me.
I'm not
me.
The one who knows about sports. You're supposed to do that."
Mm-hmm. I'm not the one answering questions here.
I'm the one asking questions. I think that would be funny to bring that energy to a conversation.
Yeah.
Someone tried to, like, ask you a question, be like, mm-hmm. "I'm the one asking questions here."
Yeah.
I might try that sometime.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, yeah, Scully, like, runs off following the friend on the bike, but Scully's just like jogging through the desert, and like the sun is getting lower and lower. This is like a long time, presumably. Mm-hmm. And she's like keeping up with a bike. Yeah. And totally fine. Like, yeah, she looks sweaty, but mm-hmm. she's fit.
Yes.
I don't know.
You also get some like funky investigation music.
We do get some funky. It's quite fun. Yeah. It's quite mysterious and almost playful, I would say. Which is a weird vibe.
Also, but it's like the kid wouldn't notice her following.
The kid is deaf, to be fair, but
yeah, but I mean, you would look behind you, right?
You would look behind you. It's a freaking desert. It's so flat.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
It's actually not that flat.
It's not that flat, but they're on a pretty flat part of it,
sure,
I would argue. It's fine. Scully eventually catches up to where the bike has been abandoned, seemingly in the middle of nowhere, but Scully quickly realizes she is standing on a wooden trapdoor that is, I don't know, leading to a secret hideaway hole thing. And we do get a fun little camera shot that I enjoyed of, like, circling around Scully. She's, like,
360.
Looking mysteriously into the middle distance to see where the friend went. But anyway, she realizes she's standing on top of the hole. She opens it up. She gets in that secret hidey hole, and we see Gibson and his friend. And Gibson is like, "Jesus Christ, how did you get here?
Come on.
I don't want to see you, man. Come on. Get out of here. Leave me alone."
Yeah.
Poor kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess Gibson is very upset that Scully is going to lead them right to him. But Scully assures him that she is here to protect him. She is on her dead kid redemption arc. Yeah. She's not going to let any other kids die because she's prepping for her own kid. So she's definitely going to keep him safe this time. Definitely.
I don't trust her.
So Gibson knows that the aliens took Mulder, and he thinks that now they've come to take him, and so he's really scared. And Scully says that the only reason the aliens have come to take him is because of what he is, which is a little rude to say, but that's fine.
Well, that's why I feel like he knows that. I don't know. That's
yeah,
this news
is
to him.
Weird.
Yeah.
I don't know. But then his friend, whose name was it, Thea, speaks up, and she's clearly worried about him. And so Gibson tells Scully that Thea is the only person that he has told what he is. She's very afraid for him. So I guess that kind of bursts our bubble of our theory that this is his alien buddy.
Yeah,
I guess.
I don't buy it. I think he's still just trying to hide it from Scully.
Okay.
She's still an alien. Don't worry.
Yeah. But then, so Scully tells Gibson that they should be afraid because they have no idea who to trust. So that's a great thing to tell a small, scared child.
Yeah.
Is you should be afraid and you can't trust anyone.
Yeah. I love that. Love that for her.
Yeah. She has a way to go, but, you know, it's early days. She's got 9 months to get better at this.
She hasn't been to parenting classes. Mm-hmm. When's the last time she even saw her godchild?
Exactly.
I don't think she's allowed to see her godchild anymore, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. So, unfortunately, Gibson does reveal that he has a pretty nasty gash in his leg, and Scully is worried that his leg is broken. And so Gibson says that he can't go to a hospital because if they find him, they're going to take him away. And Scully is just a little too worried about his broken leg, so she makes a splint for his leg, and she tells him that she's going to leave and get a car to come get him out of here, and she promises, pinky swears, that she won't let anything bad happen to him, and Gibson does fairly point out that she did say that to him once before, and it did not work out so great then.
She's got to stop saying that.
But, you know, all right, we'll see.
Girl.
Mm-hmm.
So we cut to, I don't know, it's dark. The FBI is swarming on the school. Doggett gets a call from Kirsch, who is like...
Agent walkie-talkie lets him know.
I'm sorry.
He's a call from Kirsch. Can you please recognize his contribution to the case?
Agent walkie-talkie stops by, and he stops for his, like, million-dollar shot.
Mm-hmm, thank you.
His close-up, and he says... You've got a call from Kirsch.
Thank you.
And then Doggett
talks to Kirsch. But he, like, gives Doggett the walkie-talkie in a very authoritative
probably
way.
Not in the walkie-talkie, you know?
Huh? It was the cell phone. Okay, he gives him the cell phone.
Unless Kirsch is sitting, like, 20 feet away, but he's like, I'm still talking on the walkie-talkie.
Feels like Kirsch would be the type, he's, like, in his, I don't know, tent, and he's, like, on a big, he's got fans going,
yeah.
And he's, like, he's got his pina colada, he's kicking back.
He's a fancy
lad. He's, like, 20 feet away.
And he's not going to come out
nope.
for nothing.
Nope.
So, yes, that all happens. Agent walkie-talkie is key to this scene. Kirsch talks to Doggett, and he's like, he's like enunciating so carefully because he's so pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
Kirsch has a way of enunciating when he's mad.
He sure does.
He's like, I'm getting reports that you found Agent Mulder. And Doggett's like, well, I mean, I saw him, and then he did get away. Don't worry about it. We're working on it. And Kirsch
it's pretty funny if you think about it.
He tries to pull it off. He's, like, giggling. He's not. But he does try to be like, I've got the situation under control. You don't have to worry, sir. And Kirsch is like, how did you fuck up so badly already? Doggett's really in the doghouse.
Mm.
And then Skinner's just like off to the side smirking
at
Doggett.
It's pretty funny.
And Doggett like hangs up or whatever, and he's like, Skinner, does this amuse you? And Skinner has like the bitchiest smile, and he's like, no, but you know, I understand how you got here. Kirsch is making you a pawn in a rigged game. Welcome to the X-Files. You have no career anymore. So yep. Doggett's like, okay, I'll listen to you. Tell me more.
They walk off for some dad talk.
Yeah. They have to I don't know if Doggett's a dad, but he feels like he would be.
I mean, Skinner is also not a dad.
But he feels
like
he would
be. They have dad energy.
They have dad energy. Yeah. So they go off for a secret dad talk. And Skinner's like, listen, Big Dog. Is that anything? Can we call him Big Dog?
Big Dog.
Is that good?
I kind of like Big Dog. Big Dog.
Okay. Listen, Big Dog, you're an FBI agent. People think you might be the FBI director one day, but joke's on you because you've been set up to fail, so that's definitely not going to happen. There's no way you can find Mulder because he's in a UFO, and even if you like accept that and do manage to find him on the UFO, you're still going to lose because then you'll have to admit that you found him on a UFO, and Kirsch is going to make fun of you for that, and you'll get bullied a lot. So, like, you're going to lose either way. Kirsch is going to ruin you, and that was probably his plan the whole time. And Doggett's just like, damn it.
God damn it.
I'm going to go talk to Scully. I don't need to put up with this.
He didn't even want to be on this manhunt.
He didn't want to be on the manhunt. He was doing a great case about pull tabs.
he was
really into it. And they took that away from him.
Oh, my God.
So he's like, I got to talk to Scully. So he asks, he's on the walkie-talkie himself, but I like to think that the walkie-talkie agent is the one who trained him on how to use the walkie-talkie.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so Doggett's like, who's got eyes on Scully? I got to find out where she is. And then inside the school, we do get some tricky camera work where we see the bounty hunter as teacher walk in, and then the camera pans away, and then it pans back, and it's Scully suddenly. So we know it's the bounty hunter.
Didn't he come in as the stooge?
Oh, maybe he came in as the stooge.
He
I don't remember.
Stooge.
They looked the same to me. I did not know the difference between the teacher and the stooge. The bounty hunter is now impersonating Scully, and another FBI agent inside the school is like, I got eyes on Scully. She's in the dorm with all the kids.
All right.
No. Because outside, real Scully arrives back at the scene from her little hike, and Doggett and Skinner and everyone are staring at her, and she's like, what? What are you looking at? Leave me alone. So they try to figure out what the heck is happening with these two Scullies. And real Scully, upon realizing that someone is impersonating her, screams, like, hold her, and then, like, jogs into the dorm to figure mm-hmm. this out. Because mm-hmm. she knows them kids in trouble.
So, the poor agent who is inside the bunk room goes for fake Scully, and she grabs him by the throat and really just, like, squeezes his throat to hell.
Yeah.
Like, there's blood spurting everywhere. It's really gross. Like, she doesn't, like, grab his neck. She, like, it's like a pinch of the front of his throat, and blood comes out. It's, like, pretty disgusting.
It's pretty gross.
Yeah. It looks painful, mm-hmm. and he does not look like he's having a good time. So he's, like, dying, and then the real Scully and Skinner and Doggett, they all burst in. Fake Scully goes running through the room of kids. There's, like, a million people in this room. There's agents, there's kids, there's, like, a maze of bunk beds. It's all very confusing. So everybody's running around. There's too many people in here. And Scully does see fake Scully. She follows her, but then she, like, turns a corner, and she startles herself because she sees herself in a mirror. So fake Scully is gone.
Uh-oh.
They've lost her. And she's like, oh my God, where did she go? We all saw her. And she, like, confirms. She, like, looks at Doggett and she's like, you saw her, right? And Doggett's like, yes, but I'm not happy about it.
Yeah.
And he looks really freaked out and confused. She confirms that everybody saw both of the Scullies in the same room, and now the double is gone. On the floor, the poor agent is just, like, bleeding out, and Scully, she decides to do some first aid on him. I feel like she should not be the person to be doing first aid on him right now, because he starts freaking out.
Yeah.
Understandably.
Because she's trying to touch his throat again.
Yes. Here, let me just get in there. But then, yeah, Scully looks at Doggett and she asks him how what they just saw was possible. And, she says that it is definitely somebody in this room, and he doesn't have an answer. We kind of look around at all of the agents. There's this, like, one agent who looks so freaked. Like, everybody, we pan around this group of agents. They all look, like, a little concerned, a little scared. Mm-hmm. There's this one guy who's just, like, terrified out of his mind.
His eyes are so wide and shiny with fear.
Yeah. It's pretty funny.
He's not doing well.
No. I would start with him, probably.
Yeah, honestly.
Yeah. It's not him. So, whatever. So, it's somebody in this room, but we don't know who. And then we do see Thea come back in, and she clocks Agent Stooge, who just has, like, very conspicuously a bunch of blood dripping from his hand. You know, I think it's probably the guy with blood dripping from
his
hand.
Might be that guy.
Yeah.
But that's just me.
But so she sees him and then she heads out. She is not, sticking around.
She doesn't have time for this shit.
It seems to be very easy to get back and forth from this, desert hideout back to the school.
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is interesting because it feels like it would be harder, especially like at night.
I guess, you know, that's just the X-Files way, I suppose.
The X-Files. It's actually only 20 feet away.
They go from Oklahoma to Seattle in a couple hours.
It's true. It's true. They know what they're doing. They know the secret routes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So we cut back to the UFO in the desert briefly. It's, like, shimmering with its cloaking device or whatever. Mulder's inside. He's still tied up to his foosball chair, and he is still doing quite unwell.
Yes.
With the torture, etc. I'm not sure what they're, like, experimenting on about. It seems like they're just torturing him.
It does feel like that, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I think they were implanting him with something.
Yeah, into his brain.
The drill in his mouth.
Yeah.
But I don't know what else. I don't know what's up with the saw and stuff. It also feels like they're still going around. They're still picking people up.
Yeah.
And they've already started on the torture. It feels like they would wait until they get out into space.
You would think so.
It's so early.
They just love it so much they couldn't wait.
I guess so.
You know? Juicy morsel. He doesn't seem to be enjoying it. And Gibson, in the desert hidey hole, jerks awake because he apparently is now also, like, dreaming of or sensing Mulder in the same way that Scully has been this whole time. So, uh-oh. Then we cut to an ambulance arriving.
Wait, about that.
Yes.
It makes sense that Gibson is sensing Mulder because he's psychic.
Yeah.
What's Scully's excuse?
they're in love.
I guess so.
Come on. That's just
how
it works.
It's not the first time she like sensed him in, what was that other episode where he was dead and she was having like visions of, was it The Blessing Way?
Might have been.
I think it was The Blessing Way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So not the first time.
Because they're connected body and soul.
I guess so.
His love child in her uterus is getting transmissions direct from Mulder.
That feels like something they would
antenna.
Do. Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay.
It's a good question. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
It seems to be like ambiguous if she's just having bad dreams or... Like, I think we're supposed to believe that's actually happening to him, but she might just be having bad dreams because she like... has her own experience of being tortured by the aliens and can imagine what he's going through.
I guess they kind of did the same thing when Scully got abducted because Mulder had like an evil vision of what Scully may or may not have been going through. So
yeah, because they're tight.
That's true.
It's just how it be.
True.
So we cut to the ambulance arriving for the choked FBI agent,
the unbethroated, perhaps. Yeah.
FBI agent. Scully and Doggett are both kind of staring at him and the ambulance as he gets loaded into it from various distances. And then Scully kind of stomps away to her car to sneak away, which, not sure why she's being let go, considering from their perspective, she seems like the one who choked him out. I guess
everyone saw the double.
Yeah, I guess.
And they knew that the one that... Yeah. She was outside when the guy got attacked.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. That's fair. Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. So they're being very reasonable about this.
Mm-hmm.
So she's trying to sneak up in her car, but Skinner catches up to her and he's like, "What are you doing?" And she like rushes into the car and locks the door because she's incredibly suspicious that Skinner is the bounty hunter.
Mm-hmm.
And Skinner is suspicious that she is the bounty hunter.
Either one of them could be.
So it's very ominous. He's got the keys outside the car. So she's like locked in the car, but she can't get away. He's screaming at her to get out of the car. They pull their guns on each other, of course. Classic.
Classic.
How many times has Scully pointed her gun at Skinner at this point?
I don't know. They just love doing this.
Yeah.
It's their special activity.
It is. And I love that for them.
Yeah.
Like, they're into it. They're getting something out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Yeah, I don't know. There was, like, what was the like, three-parter?
Mm-hmm.
Where there was just, like, a million cliffhangers in each installment.
Yes, yes. Yes.
Oh, God.
It was a long time ago.
Yeah. I don't remember.
I can't remember.
Was that Redux? I think that was Redux.
Maybe.
It was Redux.
Okay.
There have been other times.
They're always pointing guns.
Yeah.
We're getting into fisticuffs.
Scully, or Skinner and Mulder grapple physically. Mm-hmm. Scully and Skinner point guns at each other.
Not usually what happens with your direct report,
yeah.
But the X-Files are special,
mm-hmm.
and I love that for them. Mm-hmm. So they're like, you know, really struggling to figure out how to prove to the other one that they aren't the alien bounty hunter. I feel like they've known each other for so long. It would be so easy. They could just be like, remember that report I wrote that was embarrassing or something? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
They have so much history. It's ridiculous. But anyway, they can't figure out anything. Eventually, Skinner does put down his gun and turn around as Scully has demanded he do. And then he alludes to her pregnancy to prove that he's her friend and he knows about her.
Well, he does. He says that he knows her secret,
yeah.
Which is, we assume he's talking about her pregnancy. But if he's talking about a different secret.
He could be talking about a different secret.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, that's playing with fire because she might just shoot him to keep that secret safe at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What other secrets do you think Scully's told Skinner?
Maybe that she eats full fat ice cream.
Oh my God.
Not non-fat to foodie rice dreamsicle, but real full cream ice cream.
Can you even imagine?
She might kill somebody to protect
that
secret.
That is true.
Yeah.
Oh, disgusting.
That's right.
That'd be very funny if that was the secret. And then, like, so she, like, starts approaching the back of his neck with her gun, and then he just, like, turns around and smacks her gun out of her hands, which is pretty funny. Like, Scully, come on. You've pointed your gun at Skinner enough times, you should know how to do it at this point.
Well, the thing that I liked about this is they're doing the whole, like, we don't know if you're really you thing. He's like, I know your secret, like, I'm me, I know your secret. And she's like, okay, what is it? And he's like, no, you tell me what it is. It's like, yeah. that's not how this situation works. No. You have to tell her what the secret is.
It's true. Come but on. He's trying.
It's like, you tell the secret and then she has to tell you something.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
It really would be.
Come on.
He doesn't make her tell. I guess he's never told her a secret about himself. There's nothing she could say.
I feel like it could just be, we made out that one time.
That's
they
true.
They didn't make out. They kissed that one time.
Yeah.
They probably That's didn't tell anybody anymore. Else that.
Everyone no. in the FBI knows.
I don't know.
Was there another person still in the... There wasn't in the elevator, right? They left.
No.
Yeah, that's fair. So anyway, that I also just wrote, the alien bounty hunter is tearing them apart.
Aww.
They're tearing me apart, Lisa. So whatever. They now, I guess, agree that they... I'm sorry. I skipped the most important
Yeah,
part.
You did.
I'm so sorry. I was like, I missed a line here. Skinner goes, I don't like pointing guns at pregnant women any more than I like them pointing guns at me. And it's like, the way he says it, he's Googled that exact phrase. He's too into it, mm-hmm. in my mm-hmm. interpretation.
He's really hitting the pregnancy thing.
He's like... into it.
And it's like, you know, Scully really confided in you, and I feel like you're taking it a bit too far here.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm having a laugh and stuff, and I understand from a writing perspective they're just reminding you that Scully's pregnant, but yeah. like taking the show at face value where he's not like into it in a sexual way. He is just like treating her like a delicate flower because she's pregnant.
Yeah, it's kind of annoying.
And it's really annoying and very condescending.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm making jokes of it to make light of it.
Sure.
Within the show, it's pretty annoying.
It also doesn't feel like a thing that Skinner would do.
No.
You know?
No.
Kind of feels like she would tell it. She would like confide in him and he would like forget about it immediately. And, like, when she pops out the baby, he's like, oh, whoa, when did this happen?
What the hell? You don't tell
she,
me
like,
anything.
She, like, submits her request for maternity leave, and he's like, what is this?
You're pregnant?
What are you talking about?
Oh, shit. You did say that. Yeah, I remember something about that. Oh, yeah. He's got other stuff going on in his life.
He does.
He does not care about this. So, anyway, they're on the same page now. They both believe that the other one is not the alien bounty hunter because they both know about Scully's pregnancy. So she is like, okay, now I need the car keys because we're getting hampered by the FBI. We're getting hampered by Doggett. We're getting hampered by our own mistrust of each other. But I've got to get back to Gibson and save him.
I guess this Doggett will hamper.
This Doggett will hamper, but it will not hunt.
Yes, that's important.
It's so important. And Skinner was like, you once told me earlier today or maybe yesterday that Mulder wouldn't want me to ruin my career over him. But what about you, Scully? You've got even more at stake.
What careers?
Parentheses, you're pregnant.
Well, that too. But what careers?
She doesn't have one anymore.
She doesn't... Skinner doesn't have one either.
No,
nobody has a career anymore.
They're done. They're done. And it's fine. They don't even need LinkedIn. They can delete LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Off their phone. They don't need it anymore. It's irrelevant.
Yeah.
Scully starts like kind of tearing up and she's like, I can't take the chance that I'm never going to see him again, which is very sad. I actually didn't feel sad about that.
Aww.
And she's like, Gibson Praise is our last chance to maybe be able to find Mulder. And it might just come down to who gets to Gibson first. And Skinner's like, okay, you got me. I also want to see that bastard again. But I'm driving because pregnant women aren't allowed to drive.
That's true. That's true.
Good point, Skinner.
Thank you.
So they just like leave and the FBI just lets them go, whatever.
They're sneaking away. They drive off without headlights.
They're being a little sneaky.
Yeah.
That's actually just how Skinner drives because he doesn't know he can turn them on.
Oh, yeah.
No one ever told him.
Okay.
He doesn't use those. So, anyway, the S-tier leaves and then we see Gibson's friend Thea and she kind of looks like... weird and suspicious as she watches them go away. I was not clear if she was the alien bounty hunter or actually her at this point, but either way, she looks nervous.
Yeah, I'm unclear.
And I think it's intentionally ambiguous.
Yeah. Well, later on, they are escorted. They're driving through the desert. They are really bouncing over those dunes. It's like, poof, poof.
Oh, yeah.
Poof. And so they get to the place where the underground bunker is. They get out, they start walking. They do the X flashlight thing, which is very exciting.
Or is it like cheating on Mulder?
I think Skinner is allowed.
Okay.
I think if it was anyone else, it would feel horrible.
I would be just,
and cheap.
I would throw up if Doggett ever does an X with Scully.
Exactly. But Skinner's earned it.
Okay.
I think.
That's fair.
So they go and they look in the bunker, but Gibson is not there anymore, so that's not good. They kind of look around and they find Gibson sitting on a rock in the desert, looking out at nothing. And Gibson says that he knows Mulder is out there. He can hear him. So they kind of look out into the blank desert. They don't really see anything. Scully checks him for a fever, and she is really worried that his leg is getting infected, and they really need to get him to a hospital. But Gibson tells Scully that she is so, so close. She could reach out and touch him. Ooh. She's that close. But Skinner picks up Gibson, and he is carrying him off. He's going to take him to the hospital. And Scully tells him to leave without her. She is staying out in the desert to look for her man.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure she'll find him. I don't think there's any external factors outside of the show that would mean it's impossible.
She's definitely going to find him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So we go to the hospital. Skinner arrives. He's holding Gibson, and he's like, I've got a boy in need of emergency medical attention. And they all rush to help him. They also, I noticed, made him sleep with his glasses on, because we cut to Gibson in a hospital bed sleeping and his glasses are on.
Did they make him sleep with his glasses, or did he just leave them on?
I just feel like, wouldn't you take someone's glasses off if they were sleeping?
Yeah, I guess so.
I don't know.
It's like on TV, people are always sleeping with their shoes on and
freak shit.
They still have their makeup on and, you know, stuff like that.
That's true.
It's just, I guess, TV.
Maybe it was for me because they knew I wouldn't recognize him if he took his glasses off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I should actually thank them.
Sure.
Frankly.
Yeah.
So whatever. He's been taken care of. He's had some medical care, presumably, and he's snoozing. And then he jerks awake, and he seems very freaked out, and Skinner's like, what's wrong, boy? And then suddenly, like a dog.
Yeah.
And then suddenly, does Skinner seem like he'd have a dog? I feel like he'd have, like, a farm dog, you know, that, like, he's very emotionally attached to, but he won't admit it. And he's like, it's just a working dog.
Yeah.
But he's devastated when it dies.
Okay. Yeah, he definitely has the vibe of, like, if he did have a family, like, the kid brings home a dog, he's like, I'm not taking care of that dog, but then he cares about the dog more than anyone else.
Yeah.
But I feel that in my heart, but I also feel like he hates animals also.
That's fair, yeah.
At the same time.
His dog is the one exception.
Maybe.
To all the animals he hates.
Maybe.
I feel like he wouldn't let the dog in this house.
Yeah. But he lives on the 12th floor.
Yeah, it's not good.
He just has, like, a windy balcony.
He's got the dog tied up like Krychek.
Oh.
Krychek and a dog are not dissimilar.
No.
It's a little Jesse Pinkman-esque.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So Skinner's worried, and then we realize that Thea is suddenly in the room, but she is silent and creepy, like the alien bounty hunter, and we suspect that perhaps she is indeed him and not her. R.I.P.
I do kind of like, before she walks in, like, Gibson is just kind of, like, staring, and then Skinner looks behind him, and we get kind of, like, an eerie shot of, like, nothing in the hallway, just, like, a row of chairs. I kind of like that.
Yeah,
it was a little spooky.
A little spooky. A little jump scare, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wouldn't say that.
I would.
Okay.
I'd say anything.
That's true.
I wouldn't say anything.
Anything?
I wouldn't say anything.
All right. You just did.
Damn it.
Laugh track.
Flip it up.
Scally Scully.
Scally Scully.
We're losing it.
Yep.
Scully. Mm-hmm. She's wandering in the desert at night. We get the return of wailing music. You gotta find Mulder, girl.
Where's your friend?
Yeah. I'm like, if there are lyrics like that.
But, like, super stretched out so you can barely tell. I think that would be funny.
Yeah. So she's, like, wandering around. She shouts for Mulder. We gotta stop laughing. This is sad.
It is very sad. I'm laughing to protect my heart.
Yeah, of course. So there's no sign of him. She looks very, very upset. And then she stops. She looks up. She sees a very bright light in the sky. It's got to be a UFO, of course. Mm-hmm. So she gets, like, a slight moment of wonder, like, oh my God, there he is. But then it comes closer, and we realize that it is just a helicopter.
Damn it. They had so much budget, they had to use it again. We got the helicopter for one day, and we're going to freaking use
they
it.
They made use of that helicopter, yeah, they did. I will say. So the helicopter lands, Doggett gets out, Scully accuses him again of following her around, and Doggett says, well, of course I'm following you around, you're where all the action is. And Scully says, well, that makes sense, because I'm right, and maybe you should start listening to me. And then, I don't know, she starts getting, you know, she's frustrated, so she's going to take it out on Doggett. She's like, you know, you say that you want to find Mulder, but you're not willing to do what it takes. All you are afraid. And Doggett is like, I'm not afraid of anything except that Mulder has got you believing in all this crap now. And Scully counters and says that Doggett has seen this crap for himself now. How can he explain what happened today? He can't.
Scully would never have refused to believe the evidence of her eyes.
You know, you hate in others what you hate in yourself.
It's true.
Yeah. So Doggett is like, okay, hypothetically, if you were right and you found Mulder out here and you found this alien bounty hunter, what exactly would you do then? And Scully says that she would do what Mulder would do, whatever it took.
What the heck?
And Doggett is like, you mean lie and flout order?
You're a dork.
And he's pretty PO'd because he knows that Scully knew where Gibson was the entire time, but she didn't tell him. And they're supposed to be working together, you know? But he reveals that he knows that Skinner took Gibson to the hospital. And Scully's like, uh-oh, nobody is supposed to know about that.
I like when she has her little stinker voice and he's like, you knew where the kid was. And Scully's like, what kid? Like, come on. Yeah. Come on, girl.
Manhunt for who? You know?
She's like really denying everything at this point.
Yes. Deny everything.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't that one
Invagle,
of the...
whatever the fuck.
In... obfuscate. What was it? Deceive.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, so Doggett says that he really has no idea what the hell is going on, but the one thing he knows for sure is that Mulder is after Gibson. He doesn't know why, but when Mulder comes for the boy, his men are going to be waiting. And Scully has a horrible moment of realization. He confirms that Doggett's men have followed Skinner to the hospital, and that means that Gibson is in danger. So she kind of marches off back towards the helicopter, and Doggett says that he's got all of this under control. Nobody is going in or out of that hospital without his men knowing. And Scully flips around, and she's like, how do you know that they're your men? Oh, my
That's a good point.
God. And Doggett does not have an answer.
Oh.
So out of necessity, both of them get into the helicopter. They fly off. And then after they leave, we see that, like, a mere 10 yards away is the cloaked spacecraft.
I'm gonna end it all.
If she had walked just a little bit farther, she could have bonked her head on it.
Ugh.
She was so close.
So PO'd.
The last chance of finding Mulder is going bye-bye.
Jesus Christ.
And then inside, we see poor Mulder. I assume the aliens have been letting him know exactly what's going on outside. And so he just screams for Scully. One more Scully for the road.
I'm going to start crying.
And then that's it. He's just left in the grips of the aliens screaming for his girl.
I assume that's the last Scully we're going to get for a long time.
I don't know.
I don't
Probably.
Like this. I don't like this one goddamn
no.
thing. This is tough.
It is. Our guy. Scully's guy.
He's not doing well.
No.
This would be quite upsetting if
yes,
the person you loved was being tortured by aliens.
Yes.
And it would be quite upsetting if you were being tortured by aliens and the person you loved was trying to save you and almost got you, but
it's
didn't.
It's just upsetting all around, I think.
It's just not good.
No.
It's not good.
No.
Why are these aliens such dicks?
That's what I'm saying.
What are they even getting out of it anymore?
It's not
like colonization's not going to happen. We're done with that shit. We got the vaccine. They just got to give up.
That's the thing. Like, what are they even doing?
They're just being freaks and mean.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Yeah.
Just be nice.
Ugh.
Just chill out.
They won't.
They could literally just be impersonating humans, getting out on a pontoon boat, cracking open a beer, and instead they're doing this. There's so much on Earth that you could do that would be fun.
That's a great point, actually.
They could do anything. They could learn how to play the ukulele.
Mm-hmm.
They could Mm-hmm. Go to a movie.
You could be like the Amish aliens and have a bunch of one-night stands at a nightclub.
Yes.
Do a bunch of drugs.
They were having a great time. It sounds a lot more fun than torturing someone, mm-hmm. but whatever. Mm-hmm. If they want to torture someone, they could be like a reality show producer or something.
Yeah,
like
there's there
things they could do.
Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. Sick of it.
Ugh.
It's fine.
There are socially acceptable ways to do that.
Yeah, they could find someone who was into it. There's probably people who would want to be abducted. Well, by I guess Mulder walked into it.
The thing is, like, Mulder does, but, like, they're taking it too far.
Yeah.
Like, Mulder is their ideal mm-hmm. abductee.
Yeah.
But they're just going too far.
They could be chill about it.
Mm-hmm.
A probe here and there?
Mm-hmm.
That's fine.
Mulder could be into that.
He could be convinced.
In the right circumstances.
Yeah. With some lubricating fluids.
Of course, but the, you know, like sawing open his chest and drilling into his mouth and, I don't know, cheek hooks. Like,
cheek
that's
hooks.
Not cool.
What are they even getting out of that?
See, I think the maybe have the aliens, have they escaped from Hellraiser?
Because
they're very Hellraiser-y, you know?
It's the shtick of Hellraiser that they generate, like, power from pain or something? Or do they just like it?
I think they just like it.
They just like it? Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't read or seen it, but
yeah actually I'm not up on my Hellraiser lore. I think they might be aliens.
Okay.
I don't remember.
Okay.
They're like from like a hell dimension, but I don't know if it's like literally hell or if it's just like, I don't know, they might be aliens. So they could be the Hellraiser aliens.
The little guy with the pinheads freaked me out when I was a
mm-hmm.
kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I like saw a picture of it once.
Yeah,
you know how it'd be.
At the end of this episode, Pinhead steps out. And he takes a little bow. He's like, thank you.
I'd be kind of into
thank
it.
You, everyone.
I'd be kind of into it if Pinhead showed up.
Yeah.
I'd be like, okay, I know him.
Okay.
That's fine.
We all know Pinhead.
Everybody knows Pinhead. Yeah. Mulder would be like, ah.
There you go.
From Hellraiser.
Yeah.
Can I get an autograph?
Uh-huh.
And then he would be like, ah, I'm being tortured. This feels terrible.
Yes.
Anyway. So we go to the hospital, Scully and Doggett arrive, and the agents that are there already are claiming that Skinner and Gibson are safe and sound inside the hospital room. They've got eyes on it, it's fine, they're just surveilling the place, they're waiting for Mulder to arrive. Scully does not seem very convinced that Gibson is safe, and Doggett sort of reluctantly agrees that they can go into the room and check. So they go knock on the door, no one answers, Scully pulls out her gun and she's like, this is getting fucking serious. They open the door, the room is empty, Gibson and Skinner nowhere to be found.
Uh-oh.
Scully leaves immediately to jog around the hospital looking for Gibson, like yelling at people to help her find this boy. Doggett realizes that Skinner and Gibson apparently must have escaped through the ceiling, probably, because the window doesn't open, so...
I think, aren't the ceiling panels loose?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
They look a little off-center. Scully does find Skinner in another random mm-hmm. isolated room far away from the rest of the FBI agents, and she's pointing her gun at him again, obviously, and she's like, how did you get out? And Skinner says they escaped through the ceiling, so we're like, okay, maybe it's him then,
because
we have reason to believe that he escaped from the ceiling. So,
sure.
I don't know, could be fine. And then he's like, get into the room and just trust me, okay? Just trust me. Which, that's starting to feel a little suspicious.
Yeah.
He's hitting the trust pretty hard.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And he doesn't even mention her pregnancy at all.
<It's true. laughs> He's like, be careful when you walk through the doorway in case the door hits you on the stomach. I know you're pregnant. You have to be careful.
It's a delicate situation.
Watch your step.
Mm-hmm.
There's a slight incline.
So annoying. This guy's not annoying enough to be Skinner,
yeah.
So we know it's not him. So Doggett checks inside the hospital room where Skinner and Gibson no longer are. Doggett checks inside the drop ceiling, and we see that presumably real Skinner has been left for alien dead up in the ceiling, and his eyes are all green gooified or whatever.
He's been alien bloodified.
He's been alien bloodified, which is probably not good. And the alien bounty hunter Skinner, back with Scully, does indeed just start kind of choking Scully and throwing her around a bit because it's not really Skinner.
Doesn't he know she's pregnant?
She's literally pregnant. You cannot be doing that. Like, you know, come on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, other Skinner, a little too cautious. This Skinner, not cautious enough,
yeah.
I would say. I don't think you should throw pregnant women around by their necks.
You know, you really shouldn't. Really shouldn't do that.
You probably shouldn't throw anyone around.
That's true.
Yeah.
And I, you know, the bounty hunter really does love doing this to Scully.
Yeah.
It's a repeating behavior.
It's kind of freak shit. dress up like men she trusts and choke her.
Mm-hmm.
What's up with that?
Again, like with Mulder, you know, if she's okay with it, that's one thing.
Yeah.
But she doesn't seem like she's okay with it.
I don't think she's into this at all, to be honest with her. Or with you. And with her, I guess. With everyone.
Yeah.
We're going to be honest with everyone. Scully does manage to...
Could you be not honest with me?
I'd
prefer it if you were dishonest with me.
Love football a lot. I'm passionate about my team, the Vikings, I guess.
You know the Vikings are a team.
I know they exist. I wasn't sure like who I wanted to...
Oh, I thought you were pretending like you weren't sure if the Vikings were a team.
I kind of felt weird even saying it as a joke.
Okay.
That I was into the Vikings, to be honest.
You have to work on your dishonesty.
You know, the Chiefs. I'm from Kansas City.
Okay.
So I don't think I'm allowed to even pretend to like the Vikings. Scully does manage to get her gun out, and she shoots the alien bounty hunter, who looks like Skinner, right in the back of the neck, which does kill him. Green blood oozes out. It's pretty gross. He morphs back into the alien bounty hunter's face, and then he melts into green goo, as the aliens are wont to do.
Mm-hmm.
Gibson's still there. He's just kind of hanging out, sort of like traumatized or whatever. He's not doing great, but it is what it is.
Hopefully he has his parents to go home to.
They're in the Philippines. They're on an extended vacation, and they do not want this child back because he was annoying.
Mm-hmm.
He could read their minds.
Maybe they got sucked into like a White Lotus situation, you know, and they can't come back.
I mean, that feels right.
Yeah.
That feels right.
Yeah.
Maybe they're terrible people and they didn't want this kid anymore because he could read their minds.
I think probably that's what we're meant to believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty messed up. It's not his fault. Anyway, Doggett comes back into the room just obviously after the alien body has melted because he is Scully.
Scully is turning into Mulder. Yeah. Doggett is season one Scully.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And then Scully's just like crying on the floor because she's kind of going through it. She got thrown around a lot by a guy who looked like Skinner and then she shot him.
I think she's like realizing that was her last chance to find Mulder. Yeah.
Yeah, he's pretty much gone now too. It's not a good situation all around. She's kind of losing it. She hasn't really had like a chance for a proper breakdown in a while.
No.
And then Doggett just like kind of picks her up and holds her while she cries, which is like sweet, I guess. It's kind of weird, but
I think he's checking for if she's injured, right?
He seemed like he was cradling her.
He did. Yeah.
As an emotional comfort to me. But
yeah, that's true.
Which is fine. I mean, it's sweet. It's sweet. Yeah. He means well. It's fine. She's not doing well.
I will say none of the people in this room get green bloodified for what reason?
It's not plot convenient.
I believe that Gibson wouldn't because he's part alien, but yeah. Scully and Doggett should.
Scully's cool. Well, they're both main characters now, so they can't be hurt.
Okay. But Skinner did.
Not main cast, is he? Do you see him in the credits?
That's true.
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's messed up.
The screaming man gives anyone in the credits the power to survive.
Okay.
Alien blood.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Cool. Well, not cool for Skinner.
No. But. I hope he's okay. Did we see him again in this episode?
No.
He did?
No, we... Well, thank you for...
Okay.
He says. Kirst says.
Oh, yes.
Thank you for giving me the segue to this next scene.
Sorry, thank you.
Back in D.C., Kirsch is looking over the case in his office, including some hospital photos of Skinner.
Yeah, thank you.
So he's
Sorry.
Not dead.
Okay.
Doggett is in the hot seat. Kirsch is not impressed with Doggett's report.
Mm-mm.
He is not impressed with this report.
Thank you.
And he enunciates that. So he asks about this hazardous goo and what it really was. And Doggett says that they haven't exactly determined what it is yet.
Alien.
So, sounds familiar. And Kirsch is like, well, seems like so much of this case is undetermined, huh? He oversaw the X-Files for like a year.
Yeah.
He knows what to expect.
Yeah.
Come on.
He's being difficult.
So he confirms that, like, we still haven't found Mulder. He's still in the wind. Kirsch talks about how some of Doggett's quote-unquote facts sure are weird. You know, assailants vanishing into thin air, people morphing into other people, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's all very strange, and it really, you know, it starts to read like science fiction.
Mm-hmm.
And Doggett's like, you mean it reads like an X-File?
And then Kirsch he snaps.
Like, yes. But Doggett's like, but I think that's exactly what you intended when you assigned me to the case, sir.
That's a sassy sir.
He is, or it is. And Kirsch is like, I'm the one answering or asking the questions here. Back up.
Which is what I do in any conversation, as we've talked about.
We learned that.
Or if like a barista asks me if what kind of milk I want.
Yeah. How does that, how do you end up getting your latte?
I don't.
You don't?
I don't. I get asked to leave usually, and then I'm not really allowed back in.
That's fair.
Yeah,
that's
it fair. Is fair. They're right.
Have you considered when they ask you what milk you want, you just tell them what milk you want?
But I'm the one asking the questions here.
But you're asking for a service. You're asking for...
No, they should just know.
They should just know.
They should just know if they really cared. Okay. About customer service. I guess I just am complaining about the fact that they just don't even care about customer service anymore.
Well, you sound like a customer, so, you know, this is not too far off from the truth.
That's depressing.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Yeah. So Kirsch is like, listen, Doggett, I'm asking the questions, you're going to give me the answers, don't come back until you do. Dismisses him.
Damn.
Ooh.
Take that. Wow. Doggett in the doghouse. I'm just going to keep saying that.
Can we get a little, like a, what do we call that? Like a sound drop? Yeah, a sound drop. What are those called? Like a little, a sting.
Yeah,
a little sting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doggett in the doghouse.
Yeah.
I like that.
With some reverb.
Doggett in the doghouse. Nice. And then I, in post, if I remember to do this, I can add some reverb.
All right.
We cut to Scully in her hospital bed. I guess she's been transferred from Arizona to D.C.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
This is great.
Second time in a week that she's in the hospital.
Yeah.
And then she's just, like, snoozing. She's got her, like, hand out on top of the blanket. And then just out of frame, like, sneaks, like, so slowly, just a get-well card. Just, like, sneaks into her sleeping hand. And then she, like, jerks awake. And we cut and see that it's Doggett just like giving her a get well card in truly the creepiest way.
Why
he possibly
would you
could
do that?
It was so weird.
It was very
she's
weird.
She's fully just like snoozing in a hospital bed.
She's not like in a coma or something.
No, no.
She's just snoozing.
Like he could have just gone and said, hey.
Or put the card on the table.
Yeah, like
something.
A normal person.
But he had to sneak it into her little hand.
It was so strange.
It was very weird.
And I do kind of like that. I like evidence that Doggett's a little freak too.
Okay.
Because he's got to be in some way, right?
I hope so.
And I'm excited to learn how.
Yeah, yeah.
One way, how he delivers greeting cards. What if you did that in every context? Like you, I don't know, like you're at the office and someone's has a birthday or whatever, so you pass around a card. And then they're like on a call or whatever, and you just like sneak over to their desk and just bing, put it right into their hand.
I think that would be fun.
Yeah.
It's fun.
I kind of like it. I don't know. I think he's onto something.
It's very evil,
yeah.
But I do like it.
It's weirdly ominous for just no reason whatsoever. I don't know.
Okay.
I like it.
Okay.
But he's trying.
Sure.
He's trying.
Yeah.
So he gets her a get well soon card, and she takes it pretty well, frankly, all things considered. And he says he's just trying to cheer her up by being a freak, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know.
We get a mysterious...
Did he at least get a get well soon pregnant woman card?
He doesn't
was
know.
Was it specifically... He doesn't know.
He doesn't know. So he couldn't have...
It Skinner would know.
Skinner got her the special. He drew his own card. He was like, hope your baby gets well soon.
Yeah.
What a freak. We do get a mysterious reference to Scully's pregnancy because she's like... Doggett's like, I just don't get why they're keeping you so long. Also a crazy thing to say. Like, I don't know why you would... Like, someone you don't know that well, and you don't know their medical situation, and they're still in the hospital, and you have no reason to know what's going on, why would you be like, it's weird that they're keeping you so long?
Well, I mean, she was hurt, but she was really just, I mean, she was, like, thrown across the room, so it's,
I guess.
She was hurt, but it wasn't, like, it's if she's still in the hospital, like, a week later, that's, like, a little weird.
I guess I would just never feel so confident as to say that to someone that I didn't know very well.
I don't know.
Maybe that's just me.
Yeah.
So we get that mysterious reference where she like stares off into the middle distance and she's like, they're just checking on some things or something in my uterus. She doesn't get that explicit. And so apparently that's why she's staying in the hospital, I assume. We learn Skinner is in stable condition. Gibson's also okay, but he's a ward of the state now because his parents really hate him. And then Doggett reveals perhaps the most important information of the episode, that mm-hmm. he has been reassigned.
Mm.
His career is also over because he is now going to be working on the X-Files with Scully. Mm,
great.
Partner time.
Neither one of them is very happy about this.
No. He was going to be the director of the FBI, and now he has nothing to look forward to for the rest of his life.
Mm-hmm.
And Scully was going to find her man and continue being a little freak in the basement, mm-hmm. and instead she has to work with this loser. Not good.
Yeah.
Not good all around. Yeah. I assume this is punishment for Doggett for messing up.
I think this is what Kirsch wanted the whole time.
Okay, yeah.
Like, he knew that... I feel like Kirsch knows yeah. that they're not going to fight him.
And so it's like a Scully season one thing where Doggett's supposed to be watching Scully for them?
No, I think he just wanted to tank Doggett's career.
Just literally just wants to tank his career?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Right?
Maybe. That's what Skinner was alluding to, I guess. Yeah. Okay. Well, not going to be good anyway. But Doggett does try to end on a positive note. He's like, we will find Mulder. God damn it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he leaves.
Yeah. And Scully just kind of stares into space.
Yeah.
She's had quite a week.
She could just quit the FBI. I know she's not going to.
She's not gonna.
I know.
She's not gonna. What is she gonna do if she quits?
Like, literally anything else.
Scully?
Be a medical doctor?
I don't know. I feel like that ship has sailed.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Well, we get one last little coda. We go back to Mulder and the alien ship. He's foosballed. He's having a horrible time. And then a bunch of other alien bounty hunters line up and surround him. Leave him alone.
Come on.
Leave him alone.
He's just a little guy.
I will say confirmation. We've always wondered if the bounty hunter we know is just one guy or multiple guys. There's a bunch of, what's the actor's name? Brian Thompson, right?
Sure.
I'm pretty sure it's Brian Thompson.
Okay.
There's a bunch of Brian Thompsons. So there is more than one bounty hunter.
Mm-hmm.
But I like to think the bounty hunter we know is one particular bounty hunter.
Yeah.
And the one bounty hunter we knew is dead.
Yeah. R.I.P.
Yeah.
Sucks, but yeah. Miss him.
But yeah, poor Mulder is foosballed and surrounded by alien bounty hunters, and he is separated from Scully forever, and he's probably going to be tortured to death.
Yeah,
and we'll never see him again.
He should have had a cyanide tooth, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. That should be standard issue for an X-Files agent, I think.
Honestly should.
Yeah.
I'm kind of surprised he didn't have one.
I believe he would.
He feels like someone who would.
Yeah.
But then he'd accidentally bite it.
Oh, no.
It'd be so embarrassing.
That's what's so scary. It's like, what if you accidentally bite it?
You gotta be
Then
so
you
careful.
Die, I guess.
You just die. I guess you don't have to worry about it long.
Yeah.
It's a pretty quick problem to solve.
Yeah.
Well, is this the last we see of Duchovny for a while? I guess you can't tell me. I'm assuming it is.
I think probably so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bye.
There he goes.
Bye. Have fun on Zoolander.
I guess.
I guess. I don't know.
He loves being a hand model.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe he learned it from that one partner guy from season one.
That guy was really good at hand modeling. He was pointing at that elevator
yep.
so well.
Jerry?
Yeah,
is that his name?
I think so. Machine, Ghost in the Machine.
Yeah. I like that they tried to make that guy a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he was hand acting pretty well. So
he was.
Could have been.
That was his one thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do I have to rewatch Zoolander now that I know who David Duchovny is? I mean, obviously I got the joke. Like,
yeah. I mean, you'll...
From cultural context when I watched it the first time, but would I appreciate it more now?
You'd probably get more out of it.
Okay.
I would guess.
Okay.
At least that. Is he only in one scene?
I think he's in like a couple, but he's not like a main character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I've seen Zoolander.
He's talking about conspiracies and such forth.
Mm-hmm.
You know how it is.
And what with?
He's got a big thing encasing his hand to protect it from the elements. Which, interesting... But Chris Carter wished he had that
mm-hmm.
for his hand incidents.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Was that like a secret dig at Chris Carter?
I think it was.
Like, look at me. I'm doing so great. I got a nice hand.
I got my hand protected.
Yeah.
Or maybe Chris Carter was coming for him. He was trying to steal his hand.
Oh, is it Chris Carter proof?
It might be Chris Carter proof. Because Chris is like, I need that hand. And now that he's not an actor on my show anymore, I can steal it.
He's just going to steal it. How is he going to steal with no hands, though? Is the thing.
That's the hard thing. It's the hard thing. He's got Confederates working for him.
Yeah, I think that he would send his people
yeah.
to take David Duchovny's hand.
Yeah.
Of course.
He's tried. That's why David Duchovny got the thing made for his hand. And that's, I mean, Zoolander that was actually, really the only show he could be in.
Okay. Yeah, it wasn't actually part of the plot of Zoolander. Mm-hmm. That was just David Duchovny had that and they had to work it in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's brutal.
But just the one. Just the one hand? Or were they both?
I honestly don't remember. I haven't seen Zoolander in a long time.
I don't know.
It might have just been the one.
Yeah.
Chris Carter wants one of each. He wants David's hand and he wants Jillian's hand.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, he's going to have to wait for Jillian's.
He's willing.
Yeah.
He's willing to wait.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
What a weirdo.
Yeah.
I don't know why he's like this.
It's messed up.
It's probably not true.
Well... We'll keep an eye on that plot thread in real life.
Mm-hmm.
You know how you call it a plot thread when it's in real life.
If you right? have issues
yes.
differentiating real life from fiction, yes.
I guess so. Mm-hmm. Shall we move on to an action-packed, full, Who the Crew?
If that's true, then yes.
Tell I have one bullet
crew.
Point.
God damn it. You betrayed me. I was really looking forward to this Who the Crew.
It's like in these double parters, all of the facts are in the first part.
Dang.
There's nothing left for the second part.
That's so sad.
I know.
Okay, well, lay it on me then, I guess. The one fact.
So the Corey Kaplan, the production designer, when she was designing the interior look of the alien spaceship, she said that she specifically tried to make it. She was attracted by like a low tech aesthetic like Alien.
Mm.
So she tried to use elements of rock and steel and chisel them into interesting shapes instead of having like, you know, whatever. Bright white type of thing.
So, I liked it.
Yeah.
It's like ancient alien kind of stuff.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I guess they are. They've been around for a bit.
Mm-hmm. Some old ass aliens.
Yeah.
Mm. Well.
That's all.
Shall we move on to Blazer Watch?
Let's do it.
An action-packed Blazer Watch, I would say. Everyone's in the same outfits that they were the last episode, so I really don't have much. I just... wanted to reiterate that Skinner's desert look was not good.
Ugh.
I know we talked about it, but he's got like this baggy light yellow dress shirt with the sleeves rolled up and khakis.
Yeah.
Not a good
it's
look
like
for
a,
him.
It's like the most unflattering shade of yellow.
Yeah. Skinner's like, he looks great in like a green.
Sure.
That green sweater he wore that one time.
Oh, yeah.
Forget about it.
That was great.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a pale yellow man. Especially not when he's so sunburned. He's so red.
It's pretty bad.
He needs to get his seasons done so that he can dress for his color palette.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is, like, wasn't he trying to make his move on Scully this time?
Yeah.
And he's coming in wearing khakis and that shirt.
It's humiliating. Does he think this is going to do anything?
It's
Mulder
not.
Wore khakis one time and then he burned them because he saw how Scully reacted.
Yeah.
And he never wore them again.
Yep.
And she's right.
Yeah.
And she's right.
Mm. I don't have anything specific about the clothes that people were wearing, but just like everyone has heat stroke.
Yes.
Everyone is sunburned.
Yeah.
It looked like, especially like in the scene where Scully went down into the bunker to talk to Gibson, like she was like visibly like panting and sweating and like,
yeah she
looked
okay?
kind of bad. I don't know.
Get Gillian Anderson some water.
I mean, she's still alive, I guess. So she made it, but.
Unless it's a Paul McCartney situation where she died and they replaced her.
Mm.
And that's why she's British now.
Oh,
yeah, think about
they
it.
Swapped her with Paul McCartney.
Maybe. Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe. I mean, I'm just saying if we get to the next episode and suddenly it looks like... how old would Paul McCartney have been at the time?
I don't know.
A 60-year-old
sure.
British man with a bad red wig. We're going to know
mm-hmm.
that's... They swapped him.
Yep. I'm just imagining him looking like the Scully corpse from How the Ghost Stole Christmas.
Yeah. I mean, probably.
Yeah.
Sorry, Paul McCartney.
Sorry, Paul. Yeah. I hear he's dead.
He's not.
Paul is dead?
It's alive. It's fake.
What?
It's just a silly fake thing that people say for fun.
Okay.
And profit.
I did think that Scully was like at least a little bit more dressed for the weather than other people, although I think that this was a missed opportunity for her to wear that ugly tan suit from Biogenesis.
Oh my God.
We could have brought that back.
She couldn't have been jogging through the desert in that floor length skirt, though.
No.
She left that in Africa, I hope.
Yeah.
Yeah, all the agents wearing their like, obviously they all always are wearing silly little suits and ties and stuff, mm-hmm. but like something about the, it was just like a group of like lemmings wearing like silly little suits and ties looking so hot. Yeah. There's so many of them.
Mm-hmm.
Usually it's like just Mulder and Scully.
Yeah.
So it's not like this mass of people wearing impractical outfits.
Yeah.
So it looked quite goofy.
Yes, they did.
Yeah. All right. Well, what the hell is this next segment? It's like 9 months to Blastoff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
So now we're moving into 9 months to Blastoff, which is the rebrand of, I've already fucked
it up.
FBI Do. Thank you. And so.
It's a successful rebrand.
Yes. I've already forgotten. I don't even remember what it used to be. Where if it's a relationship is 0 months, it is not very developed at all. And if it is 9 months, it's at full gestation.
Yes.
Fully developed relationship, ready to go out into the world.
Yes.
So who would we say is 0 months developed in this episode?
We have to work on that intro,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We'll get there. We'll get there.
I have, I mean, as always, Scully and the alien bounty hunter, non-consensual choking. It's not okay.
It's never okay.
No.
Quite dangerous. You can die.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Scully and Doggett they're getting off to a rocky start, I would say.
Yeah.
And I think it's 0 months is accurate because I assume they'll build a relationship slowly.
They've known each other for 0 months.
Yeah.
So
It's true.
I also have Doggett and his career.
Yeah.
It's not going in a great direction.
Yeah. It's like developed.
Yeah.
It's been aborted at this point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. 9 months developed. I was really kind of struggling with this one.
Oh, I had one right away.
Oh my God. Who?
It's Scully and Skinner pointing guns at each other.
Oh, you're right.
As always.
I feel so silly.
Come on.
Of course. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Consensually.
Mm-hmm.
Well, consensual non-consent, I guess. I assume they have a safe word.
Yeah. I mean, they're both into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the danger is part of the thrill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's edge play.
Yes. There you go.
Yeah. Why don't they have a safe word at this point? Like, genuinely for their little, like, alien stuff.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah. They literally should.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, how many times have they been taken over by one thing or another? And sometimes the thing they're being taken over does have their memories.
True.
But not all the time.
True.
So you could still cut out on 50%.
Yeah.
Or more.
Yeah.
70%.
You wouldn't have to, like, necessarily trust them,
mm-hmm.
but you could rule out a lot of people, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Do we move into Doggett Day Afternoon now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
So now we're moving into our other new segment, Doggett Day Afternoon, where we talk about what Doggett does when he's off work because he's normal and he puts in his 40 hours and then he checks out.
Yeah.
So I figured now that he's assigned to the X-Files, that sucks. So he's probably going to go home to his wife and be like, babe, my career's over.
Oh,
I'm kind of
no.
bummed. And she's going to be like, that sucks. Let's do something to distract you.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to go get dinner and a movie.
Okay.
And I like to think that they want to see Remember the Titans because that came out in 2000.
Which one is that?
It's like the football one. Like
okay.
Denzel Washington.
Okay.
And apparently Ryan Gosling's in it. I haven't seen it since like 2000. Since like social studies class. I feel like the teacher would like wheel in that TV and be like, we're watching Remember the Titans because I guess that's relevant.
In what class?
I feel like it was social studies. I don't know.
Okay. All right.
It was about football, so it's relevant.
Oh, he isn't it. I mean, I have not seen this movie.
Okay. Yeah.
I guess I didn't go to school. You know, if I haven't seen Remember the Titans.
If you haven't seen Remember the Titans, were you even a student? So I just like to think that's what Doggett did.
We did watch Evolution in my science class.
That's pretty good. That's solid. You know, that's pretty good.
I think that's actually the only time I've seen it is in science class.
The only time you need to.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think I was on a similar track. You know, he's had a stressful week. His career is over. You know, he's not in a great mood. So I thought he might have like a nice spa day. You know, cucumbers over the eyes, face mask, fluffy robe. He's just going to kick back. He's going to take a nap.
He deserves it.
Yeah, he does.
He needs it.
Yeah.
You can't serve from an empty vessel, as we all say.
And he definitely needs some skincare for his severe sunburn.
Yes.
Although he looked less sunburned than everybody else.
He applied sunblock before he went out because he's a well-rounded person with a life outside of the FBI.
That's right.
I assume.
You have to have a well-rounded life to put on sunblock, I guess.
It's so true. I'm glad you said it.
Okay.
I know that you were saying that independently and not criticizing what I said, and I think you're right. Yeah,
of course.
I'm just saying, is it interesting that Scully and Skinner,
Scummy,
the Scummy crew, the Scummy squad, S squared, S tier, whatever they're called,
we
did not have sunblock.
Skinner definitely didn't.
No,
Scully didn't look sunburned. She just looked really hot.
Yeah, it's, she always looks really hot.
Well. I was just thinking, related to S squared, we are going to have to think up a team name for Scully and Doggett.
Scoggett.
We'll keep thinking.
Come on. Got it in one.
Scoggett.
Yeah.
I actually almost like that.
Right?
Almost like that.
Come on. Scoggett.
We'll think about it. We'll think about it.
I'm going to keep saying Scoggett until it hits, though.
That is what happened with Scoo Crew.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. Which I love. And RIP. We'll never get it again.
Aww.
Well, we probably will at some point.
Yeah. But.
Oh, my God. That's the monster truck. That means it's time for Monster of the Week, the segment where we talk about this week's monster and special little guy. I'm assuming you have one this week.
Of course.
Okay. Do you want to start with your special little guy?
Special little guy, star of maybe the entire show, Agent Walkie Talkie. Love him. I need him back. He's the best.
He knows what he's doing.
He does.
And he knows how to work that walkie talkie.
He's in charge and he knows it.
He's on channel one. He's on channel two. He's saying over and out.
AM, FM. You can't hold this man down.
Forget about it.
Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing technique. All right, and then who's this week's monster? I did say it's a little obvious because it's the literal monster, but the alien bounty hunter, just for doing identity theft, because that's not cool.
Sure.
Like, that's going to have repercussions for other people's lives that he's not going to have to deal with. And it's just rude.
I feel like, you know, honestly, I feel like he doesn't even care.
It's like he doesn't even care.
Yeah.
Does he even know that Scully could go to jail for that?
No.
Doesn't give a shit.
Yeah.
What a monster.
Messed up. And now every time she sees that guy in the hallway, he's going to be really scared of her.
Yeah.
Every single time.
Every time. Like, that's going to be repercussions forever.
He's scarred for life, I think.
I mean, wouldn't you be?
Yeah, a little bit.
But, like, maybe a little into it.
Well.
When you're healed.
Sure. Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just have, Kirsch was particularly diabolical for, deciding to tank, Doggett's career by sending him to the X-Files for his own selfish purposes.
Yeah.
It's pretty diabolical.
Kind of a dick. Is Kirsch going for the director's chair? Is that what the issue is?
I think so, right?
Okay.
Isn't that
probably
what he's doing?
Correct.
I guess Skinner was just, theorizing, but it seems like a pretty solid theory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Skinner just likes gossiping, though.
That's true. He made that up out of nothing.
Based on absolutely zero.
You know, that actually feels so true.
I support him. I love wild gossip about work. Not that I would ever do that, but theoretically if I did.
Of course.
I don't say things that I know aren't true.
Okay.
But if I get a juicy morsel that I know is true, I'm telling everyone.
All right.
All Forget right. about it.
Yeah.
Love a little gossip.
All right. All right.
Well, said that. Time to talk about our favorite scene or moment.
It is.
All right. I think we got off track because I went first last time. So
I think you can go first this time too, and
are you sure?
We can go back to normal next time.
Okay. I mean, I could also take odd episodes if you want.
Nah. Let's stick with what we know.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. It was very sad, but I did like Mulder screaming for Scully.
Aww.
It made me sad. It made me feel things.
Yeah.
So that sucks.
He's all alone in that ship.
He's all alone in kind of the universe forever, as far as he knows. And he's foosballed right into that chair. Mm-hmm. And it, frankly, doesn't look like a comfortable chair. It's like made of stone. Like, he's got to be cold. He's like naked.
Yeah, it wasn't just the being speared through your wrists and ankles. It also just looked like an uncomfortable chair.
Yeah, like even if you were just hanging out, mm-hmm. your butt would get sore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it looks drafty. It looks drafty.
Yeah, I don't think they have heating on that ship.
No.
Yeah.
And presumably, are they feeding him? I don't know.
They probably like have like a tube down his throat.
An evil IV situation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's pretty messed up.
It's just not cool.
As far as he knows, it's never going to end until he dies.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Now you're making me sad.
I know. It's messed up. That's what happens when he leaves the show. Don't resign your contract. You get tortured forever and die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why you can't leave. That's Chris Carter's insurance policy. You do not leave my show or this is what happens. No.
But that last Scully, you know I love a Scully.
We all love a Scully.
Mm.
But treasure that one.
I will.
It'll be the last one you get, maybe forever.
I'm going to cry. It's fine.
Yeah.
I can always rewatch old episodes.
That's true. Yeah. I guess my favorite scene, I quite enjoyed the scene in the bunk room with the two doppelganger Scullies and the guy getting choked and the confusing chase through the room. I don't know. I thought the buildup was really great because you see fake Scully and then you see the real Scully and then everyone's like, oh. I like the chase through the room. It had a good eerie atmosphere.
Mm.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah solid.
All
right, and now we sum up the episode. We rated on a scale of 0 to 5 alien head emojis, and you know what, had a pretty good time.
How many emojis to blast off are we?
25 and a half.
And a half. Okay, cool.
Right?
Cool.
I don't know. What would you say?
I was going to say 24 and a half, actually.
You're just being difficult at this point.
Yeah.
You know, it was. I feel like this is a solid season opener.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it was a solid new direction for the show. We've got some stuff set up now. I'm kind of surprised that Gibson's still around, but I guess they're keeping him in play as like a pawn. I kind of figured he would get taken at some point, but...
Get jorked.
I thought he'd get jorked. Is that what you said?
I don't know, jorked up into the spaceship.
Yeah, I didn't think he would get jorked, but he didn't, so I assume he's going to come back at some point. So they're keeping him as a little pawn. I imagine this is the last time we see Mulder for a while, which is a bummer for him and us. But I'll wave goodbye to him. And really for Scully, she's not going to be doing super well.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to... Deadbeat dad. Can I just say that? Interesting.
Wow.
He literally walked into a UFO rather than raise his child.
That is... Wow.
Kind of
messed
up. He's taking it to a new level. He's saying, I would rather be tortured indefinitely on a UFO than raise my child.
You know... I don't think that Mulder would make the best dad, but he doesn't give off deadbeat dad energy.
He does not.
It's not his thing.
He'd be very earnest.
Yes.
Yeah. He did not know she was pregnant.
No.
And I guess we don't technically know it's Mulder's kid. Again, I'm going to...
Come on.
...not accept any nonsense they try to pull on that, if they do try to pull anything. But anyway, yeah. So, I don't know. I don't know that I have a lot more to say than the last episode, really. Like, it was a solid two-parter. I'm excited to see what we can learn from Doggett, like what his whole situation is. You know, we've obviously started inventing mythology.
He loves Remember the Titans.
He loves Remember the Titans. He loves having boundaries with his work-life balance, which is not going to go well for working on the X-Files.
I do think, since we're doing this, I think we have to be careful to not create Party Skinner 2.0.
Ooh.
Because we could easily slip into Party Skinner 2.0.
Yeah.
We can't do that again.
No, he's bored. He's, like, normal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, aggressively normal in
which
I'm not sure how we're going to maintain that being super funny.
We'll see how it goes.
But just like a guy who talks about his buddies, you know? He's like, I got a buddy that I played golf with the other day. Like that, like he talks about his insurance plan when he goes to get dinner with friends sometimes.
Sure, sure, sure. Yeah.
Like, just a guy.
Yeah,
he's just
a
guy.
Dude.
He's watching the latest prestige drama. He's not that into it, but everyone at the office is talking about it.
His wife is into it.
And his wife watches it, and he's like, okay, I'll sit on the couch and watch it.
Sure.
But, you know, he's, like, maybe on his phone looking up sports scores.
This is going to be some culture shock for him working in the X-Files department now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not calling people from work at 11 p.m.
No.
He's not interested in dropping everything to drive across country to see if there might be an alien
in
Oregon. Sounds healthy. No. Yeah, exactly. He's just a normal guy. And I'm excited to see how accurate or inaccurate that assessment is.
All right.
Yes. So now that he's officially on the X-Files, I guess I feel like I probably saw that coming. I don't remember if I said that or not, but like I
don't know how else he would be on the show.
What else would be happening? What else would be happening? So obviously he's assigned to the X-Files. I'll be curious if they just like drop the Mulder manhunt or if they like keep pretending like they're looking for him or what.
I mean, it's like on the back burner, right?
I guess, because I don't know if they have any leads now. But it seems like they have just as much of a lead as they ever did, because they don't believe that he got taken by a UFO.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as they're concerned, isn't he still in the Arizona desert? Why did they just leave?
Because the guy came to get Gibson. Yeah, who do they think is the dead guy? Because the face melted.
Face did melt.
Who do they think that is?
Are they trying to pretend it's Mulder?
But they didn't close the case. They didn't say Mulder is dead for sure. No. So maybe they think that whoever they were hunting before wasn't really Mulder.
Maybe.
And it was this other guy.
Is he squinting so hard?
Yes.
Wasn't
I don't know. That's a good question.
So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how that goes. Again, I think we talked about it last week, but I'm excited for Kirsch as an antagonist and Skinner kind of continuing to move even further into this, like, ally role. Like, I assume he and Hinskelly will be together, kind of almost against Doggett, until and unless Doggett can prove himself. Mm-hmm. I will be very interested to see Doggett on a case. I think he's going to be pissed off.
Probably.
The second some bullshit happens.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be fun. But yeah. So we'll see. Sad for Gibson. He's had a bad life too. The kid deserves better.
Yeah. And he's separated from his friend.
And now he's separated from his friend. Is she even okay? Like, I know that, like, is she still at the school?
I guess so. But it was, but now he's in state custody. Yeah. So what was he before?
Yeah, what did they think he was? Like, did he just enroll himself in the school and they were like, okay. What? Or did his alien friend dress up in a suit and say, this is my boy and you need to enroll him in this school?
He was like, what's the, from BoJack Horseman, the little boy in the trench coat? Vincent Adult Man? Was that?
Yeah,
it was like a Vincent Adult Man situation. Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah.
Or is it like Gibson can read minds, so he knows exactly what to say to convince people? Like, he can sense when they start doubting him and can change tack like a chess master?
Yeah.
I don't know.
A pint-sized chess champion?
Yeah. Maybe there's less bureaucracy in this random middle of nowhere Arizona school.
Probably.
In a lot of places.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. All that to say, solid mythology episode. I'm not sure it, like, drove forward any alien mythology, really, necessarily, because they're just, like, doing their thing that they usually do.
Mm-hmm.
But it was still fun. I gave it 3 out of 5 alien head emojis.
All right. I agree. I think this is a pretty solid setup for the new phase of the show. You know, we've done our due diligence. We've looked for Mulder. We have now accepted that he's gone for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I think that this is maybe one of the best uses of the bounty hunter. I don't know. I thought, especially the bunk scene, but also just, like, from moment to moment, like, you never really for sure knew which one the bounty hunter was. In certain scenes, you definitely knew who it was, but, like with that, when one scene with Thea, and you're like, is she or is she not? I thought that shape-shifting stuff was particularly well used, because it does feel like the bounty hunter's been around for a while, but I feel like they've never really used the shape-shifting aspect to its full potential.
Yeah.
So I quite liked how they used it in this episode. I think, yeah, we talked about that before, how it would have been fun if it had been like a whole story arc where he took over somebody and it wasn't just resolved in one episode. Mm-hmm. Still would have been fun, but...
Would have been, but... I guess there's still technically other bounty hunters. Could happen.
That's
probably
true.
Won't.
That's true. So... Yeah. You know, we get some very great sad moments of Scully and Mulder being separated. Very sad. I think this was a pretty good setup for Doggett. You know, he does see some weird stuff in this episode that he can't quite explain. And, you know, he gets relegated to the X-Files as a way to tank his career. And, you know, it's like all about whatever, inner office politics. That feels pretty par for the course. Mm-hmm. I'm honestly surprised that nobody else has been relegated to the X-Files before now.
Yeah, that's true. It does seem like where they would get rid of people they don't want anymore.
Yeah. Again, this would happen all the time.
Again, maybe they did. And Mulder and Scully just completely ignored them.
Maybe. Seems believable, but I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Solid setup for the season. Excited to see Scully and Doggett work together. I did give it a 4.
All right, so
alien head emojis.
I didn't feel bad. I'm like, did I? Whatever, it doesn't matter. I'll stand by my 3.
All right.
I was hovering 3.5 or 3. Yeah. So. But I'm a hater.
I just really liked the bunk scene, I think.
Yeah.
I pushed it up a little bit.
That's fair.
For me.
Yeah, all them kids saw the woman just like choke a man to death, which... not to death. He's fine, I guess. He's probably not fine.
He's not fine.
He's doing pretty bad.
He's alive.
But that would be pretty traumatizing, I would assume.
Yes.
Pretty messed up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, all right. That's without that is... Mulder, without hope.
Yeah.
Without love.
Sad.
Yeah.
Well, next week we will be moving on. We will be talking about season 8, episode 3. Patience.
I don't have any.
Well, you're gonna have to develop some.
Okay.
Doggett will have to develop some.
That's true. That's true.
It's Monster of the Week, so we'll see how that goes.
Okay. I'm excited. Mm-hmm. His first Monster of the Week.
Aww.
Baby's first monster.
Special.
Yeah. All right. If you would like to send us an email, you can do so at skellynationpod@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram and DM us on Instagram. Maybe not on Twitter, because Elon has
definitely
it out for us.
Definitely not on Twitter.
We're not going to receive it, apparently.
Don't bother it.
I don't know what's going on. They're blocking our messages. Pretty typical. Mm-hmm. I think the spies are probably behind it, trying to keep us down.
That's right.
The FBI doesn't want our stuff getting out there, so they're not letting
this
our messages
through.
This
is what the lone gunmen feel like, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anytime there's like a glitch on Twitter. Or whatever it is. Our intro and outro music is by Groovemaster Putz, and you can get more of their music on Bandcamp.
Also, if you're enjoying our show, please consider giving us a rating and a review on your podcatcher of choice. And spread the word about the pod. Tell your friends, your family, and the guy that your doppelganger just choked almost to death about the podcast, because maybe when he listens to the podcast and likes it, he will forgive you.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well... I've been your host, Amanda.
And I have been Ella. And please remember, trust no one except for us.